Shalom of Racha. Okay, we are going to review quickly and then finish the Sugya of Mesayeya Ein Bo Mamash, okay? So we have a very, very striking Gemara in Maseches Makos. And the Gemara tells us, in the name of Rabbi Chizda, I believe, Echad Hamakev Vechad Anikav, you're over the Isser, our local. Let's just get the Lashna Gemara just down, because I don't want to mess that up. So the Gemara tells us, in the name of Chizda, Echad Hamakev Vechad Anikav Loke. They both get Malkus. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why should they both get Malkus? After all, what is the Nikav doing? After all, he's just sitting there doing nothing. Gemara gives three answers. Answer number one is Alibi Rabbi Yehuda Labshim Amaisa's Lokanov, and that's why he's getting Malkus, even though he's doing nothing. Answer number two is Bemakif es Atzmo. He's giving himself a haircut, and therefore he's going to be over an Isser of Makif, and he's also over the Isser of Nikov. Ayide Mais is going to get two sets of Malkus. And the third answer is Bemisayeya Vidivre Akol. In other words, he's a Nikav, he's doing something. He's Mazmin Seorosav, he's leaning in, etc. He's doing a Maisa, and therefore he's going to be Chayev Makos. That's the Gemara in Maseches Makos, pretty straightforward. We saw a Gemara Maseches Beitz Dachab Beis, and the Gemara there seems to say the exact opposite. And the Gemara there suggests that when it comes to the din of Refua B'Shabbos, if you're a Chole She'en Bo Sakana, Kol Tzerche Chole Nasnag De Nochri, B'Shabbos, so a guy can do it. So if a person has an eye illness, he's allowed to ask a guy to cure his eye illness, put some ointment in, etc. So we're going to ask Akasha, how could he do so? After all, V'haka amitz upatak, you're opening and closing your eyes, V'hamek sayeya bahadei, you are facilitating, you're helping out. The Gemara says, no problem, Misayeya ein bo mamas. We have that echoed as well in Perek HaMatzim, Masech HaShabbos, Misayeya ein bo mamas, Zeh yachol, Zeh eno yachol, the one who's yachol is chayev, the one who's eno yachol is a Misayeya ein bo mamas, she's not going to be over any issue. So the Rishonim, not many, but one Rishon, points out the stira, is Misayeya yesh bo mamas, ein bo mamas, and the Ritva gives two answers. And if I had a marker, I would definitely put this on the board, but the Ritva gives two core approaches. If I had a marker, I'd put it on the board. I don't happen to have a marker. What? I don't want to tell you what to do. But so the Ritva asks the Kasha, and the Ritva gives, suggests two approaches. Approach number one is saying that there is no contradiction between these Gemaras. The Gemaras are not really contradicting. They both agree to the following idea, that sometimes the Messiah yesh b'mamash and sometimes the Messiah ain't b'mamash. It all depends on the degree of siyua. How much siyua are you doing when it comes to blinking your eyes? You know what? Blinking your eyes is someone that does, you do that naturally. You're not really, really doing much to help out. And therefore, you are going to be, that's Messiah ain't b'mamash. However, when it comes to mazmin sorosav, you're leaning in, etc., doing that kind of activity, that is called a siyua gadol, and there, Messiah yesh b'mamash. Okay, according to the approach of the Ritva, that approach of the Ritva, is there really a contradiction between these Gemaras?
No,
there's no contradiction to the Gemaras. The Gemaras are easily resolvable, not based on a legal principle, but on a factual, practical distinction. That is the approach of the Ritva, what I'm going to call Ritva number one. And which one of the modern-day poskim clearly agrees with this Ritva? The Taz. The Taz in Simen Shin Chav Ches in Arachayim will clearly agree with this Ritva. Why? Because what does the Taz say? The Taz points out, I don't like this psak of the Rama. What is the Rama paskin? Rama paskin that when it comes to a person who has a toothache on Shabbos, if he's a chola she'en bo sakana, he can go to a Gentile, and he can go another Gentile, remove the tooth on Shabbos. Ah, that's a refuah b'Shabbos. Good, it's a refuah b'Shabbos. Just like what? Thank you so much. Just like, eye ointment is a refuah on Shabbos. Kol tzar chechol, nasnai ve'akum be'er. Shabbos of Yontif. So the Ramah says, open up your mouth and have the tooth extracted. Comes on the Taz, and the Taz says, no, nothing doing. Is the case of tooth extraction more analogous to the sugya in Maseches Makos, Mazmin Seorosav, or is it more analogous to the sugya of Maseches Beitzah, blinking your eyes? So he says there's a fundamental distinction on a practical level between these two cases. When it comes to blinking your eyes are normally in what state?
Open.
He puts in the ointment. The doctor does the first move. Now you blink. So you're just following his lead. That's called Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. When it comes to your hair and your leaning, etc., your normal head state is upright. Now that Barbara's telling you which way to lean, you're making the first move. You're facilitating his actions. Then he acts. You are a Misayeya Sheyesh Bo Mamash. When it comes to your mouth is typically closed. You sit in the chair. Doctor says, open up, open wide. Now he pulls out the tooth. Who's making the first move?
You are.
You are making the first move, and as a result, you are going to be osir. So it comes on the Taz, and the Taz argues on the position of the Rambam. The Taz says that to go ahead and sit in a doctor's chair and have him remove your tooth on Shabbos would be osir based on Makos number one. So we have a steer into Sukkot. I'm going to call this Makos. We'll call this Beitza. Here we have Misayeya, Yeshbo Mamish. Here we have Misayeya, Ein Bo Mamish. And now we have Ritva number one. And what does Ritva number one say? Yes, here is Siyua Gadol. Here is Siyua Katan. And the sugya is a fundamentally talking about the same topic, but there's a different level of Siyua. And I am suggesting that the Taz is also going to be in the same camp as the Ritva. And therefore, when it comes to the case of, we'll call it Hotsoas Shein B'Shabbos, so says the Ritva, says the Taz, what's going to be the halach and Hotsoas Shein B'Shabbos? It's going to be Usser. Why? Because it's like Makos, it's a Siyua Gadol, and is there going to be Usser? Good? Okay.
What I'm really with the Ritva saying
is exactly.
It's not really what the Rebbe is saying.
It's exactly.
He's saying it was due to first. He's saying that you started it. The Rebbe is saying it's just a more significant action.
It's not exactly the same.
The Taz is better. The Taz is better.
The Taz is better. Yeah. But the same. It's the same idea. Is it a different idea? Is it a conceptually different idea?
Not really.
Comes along the Ritva quotes the Ramah, his Rebbe, what we'll call Ritva number two. According to Ritva number two, the Sugya Maseches Beitza and the Sugya Maseches Shabbos, is there a contradiction?
Yeah.
Yes. What's the resolution of the contradiction? The resolution of the contradiction is they're talking about different topics. It's not the pshat that, same topic, and the topic is Misayeya, and you have two different degrees quantitatively of Misayeya. Rather, says Ramah number two, the topics are different topics. They're addressing different issues. The sugyas are not on the same point, and therefore there's no contradiction. What is the rule when it comes to Misayeya? The rule is Beisa. The rule is Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. A Misayeya to create an Avera, not enough to create an Avera. If you're a mere accessory, a facilitator, Ein Bo Mamish to create an Avera. So when you go ahead to the eye doctor and you blink your eyes, are you doing a refuah? No, you're not doing a refuah. Why not? Because all you are is a Misayeya. Misayeya is a zero. Who's doing the refuah? The eye doctor's doing the refuah. Similarly, says the Ramah, the Ramah in Hotsoas Shein. Where's the Ramah going to fit in? The Ramah's right over here with his namesake, the Ramah.
Which Ramah is?
Ramah, Rav Meir Isserlish in Shulchan Aruch, Hotsoas Shein. What's going to be Hotsoas Shein? Are you allowed to go ahead and have your tooth removed?
Yes.
Why? Because Messiah is a nothing. You're going first. You open your mouth first. What does Ramah say to that? Doesn't make a difference. Why?
Ein
Bo Mamish. I don't care. It's irrelevant. You're not doing a Ma'aser Refuah. I'm going to say Ein Bo Mamish. What's the rule? Makos or Beitza?
Beitza
is the rule because Messiah Ein Bo Mamish. That's the rule. That's the psak of the Ramah. What's the idea? Yeah, Makos is a different sugya. Because Makos is not addressing whether there's a Maisa Avera. When you're a Nikaf, is there a Maisa Avera?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes! I shouldn't say Maisa Avera. Is there an Avera? There's an Avera, because the Torah says Losa Kifu. And Losa Kifu means you're doing an Avera. The only problem is, it's an Avera that you should not be getting Makos for. Why? Because Ein Bo Maisa. So what does the Misayeya accomplish? It accomplishes a Maisa. And to accomplish a Maisa, to generate Malkus, Even Misaya is sufficient. That's sufficient. But to create a Maisa Avera, that already you need something much more significant. And according to the Ramah, these sukkahs have nothing to do with each other. This is the sukkah of Misayaya, Ein Bo Mamesh, that carries the day. Malkus is the sukkah of Malkus. And yes, Misayaya is enough to generate a Maisa for a Chiyuv Malkus. Good?
The Ramah agrees with the Ramah.
The Ramah is in the camp of the Ramah. Ritva number two.
But Taz is in the camp of the Ritva number one.
That's correct. You understand that? Now, we found another Taz. There's another Taz who is Lishitase. And the Taz in Hilchos Nida addresses the Shaila, the question. The Mechaber says there's a practice that women have before they go to the mikvah. They have to do chafifa. Chafifa means they have to make sure that there is no chatzitza on their bodies, in their hair, anywhere else before they tovel the mikvah. And therefore they have to take a bath, clean themselves up, make sure there is no separations. One of the things they have to investigate, part of their body that has, like, they have separation, that have chatzitza, that has dirt on it, and that's the fingernails. So the Ramah says there's a practice that, or the Shulchan Aruch says there's a practice that women cut their fingernails. And the Shaila that the posting discussed is that Me'ikar Adin? Or is that a chumra ba'alma? Many arguments, what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's a chumra ba'alma. Really, what you have to do when it comes to fingernails is you have to just clean the fingernails. But some have the practice, it's too hard to clean, just cut them off. There is a daya in poskim rishon that says, no, it's me'ikar adin. You actually have to cut the fingernails halachically. Why? Because as fingernails get long, they're omed likatzetz. And we have a svara, kol ha-omed likatzetz, kikatzetz dummy. Even though they are now attached to the lower part of the nail, they're destined shortly to be removed. And since they're destined to be removed, we view them already now as excess. It's excess nail. If it's excess nail, then it's a chatzitza between the part of the nail that's not excess and therefore has to be removed before the toivel, and that's me'ikar adin. That's machlokas harishonim. The Shulchan Aruch seems to side with the view that says it's only a chumrah, a minog, not to cut the nails. But we cut the nails. A woman has her leil tefillah on Friday night. She does her chafifa, her preparation, on Friday afternoon. She forgot to cut her fingernails. What is the solution to the problem? What can she do? So there was a suggestion made by some of the Rishonim that she should find a goya and have the goya cut her fingernails for her. Maybe you'll argue cutting fingernails, machlok Rishonim, whether it's an Isser Dorais or Isser Drabanan. If it's a Drabanan, you're good to go. Shvus, deshvus, b'makom mitzvah. If it's a Doraisa, we'll ask the Goya to be very nice about it, and she'll use her teeth to cut their fingernails. That'll make it into an Issa Drabanan, for sure. Shvus, deshvus, amir la'akam, Drabanan, b'makom mitzvah is mutter. So that was a suggestion posed by to the Taz. And the Taz said, ooh, that's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. Why do you think that's a terrible idea? Because, number one, is this a halacha or a chumrah to cut fingernails? It's a chumrah. And now he says, you want to be machmir to have this guy do it shvus to shvus? But that's a chumrah to us de kula. Why? Because what's she going to do? What's the woman going to do? She's going to put out her hands. Putting out her hands in our code language is called misayeya. Which misayeya is it according to Taz? Misayeya ein bo mamash or misayeya yesh, ein bo mamash or yesh bo mamash? It's yesh bo mamash. Why? Because according to Taz, l'shitase, she's making the first move. The first move is by putting out your hands. That's called the Messiah Yeshua Mamish. Who is doing the fingernail cutting in that scenario, according to the Taz?
She is.
The Yisraelis is doing it also. She's a participant in it. She's doing gozes. So now for this chumrah of cutting fingernails, you're going to violate Chil Shabbos. Terrible idea. Stop. Don't. Clean out the fingernails. Shalom al Yisrael. That's the position of the Taz. Comes on the Shach in the Nekudos HaKesef. What does Taz mean? Turei Zav. What does Turei Zav mean? The pillars of gold. Taz wrote the pillars of gold. The Shah came along. So I just have some small comments to make. Little comments. Points of silver on the pillars of gold. Little points of silver. Nekudas HaKesev, where he comes and attacks the position of the Taz. And he attacks on two levels. First of all, he says, in Hilchos Nida, I want you to know, I disagree. And I hold this is not a chumra ba'alma. I hold me'ikar adin, you have to cut the fingernails. Why? Because kol omid likatzetz Kikatsu's dummy. That's point number one. See, you have to cut the fingernails. Don't just say clean them out. It's not sufficient.
Why does that make a difference? Whether it's a chumrah or whether you guys
do it. Because if it's a chumrah, then you're not going to Shabbos nida. Chumrah of nida, Shabbos, Shabbos wins. But if it's already a din in Hilchos nida, and now I'm going to have to push off the tefillah till Motzei Shabbos, so now I'm going to have to find a solution. So comes along the shach, and the shach says, we got to cut the fingernails. And you know what? This idea of having a goya do it, great idea. Love the idea. Excellent idea. Shvus, tishvus, b'makom mitzvah. Ah, you'll tell me. Misayeya? You'll tell me, misayeya? What's the shach's response to the taina of the Taz misayeya? The answer is, the shach is learning like the Rama and Rama. That what? That the rule is Beitza. Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. When do we say Misayeya Yesh Bo Mamish? In one and only one case. When there is already an Isser of Nikaf, and now you just need to make it into a what? Allah Sheyesh Bo Maisa. There we say Misayeya is going to be meaningful. But otherwise, the rule of thumb is Maseches Beitza, Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. And if Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish, go ahead, stick out your hands. Who's doing the Maisa Avera of Geziza Sipornayim? The guy is doing it. What are you doing? Misayeya. What's Misayeya? Ein Bo Mamish. No problem. So what emerges is, we have a, I don't know, triple Machlekes. Machlekes between 2 days in the Ritva, Ritva Rama. We have a Machlekes Rama, Ramor, Taz, and now we have Machokas, Shach, and Taz, all Lishitas. Is that clear? Great. Gekovich.
The guy biting her nails, that's the Rabban?
Yeah.
And her biting her own nails?
Also the Rabban.
So,
even
with the what would be the benefit of having
because if it's a guy, you have two Rabbans. A Shvus to Shvus. You have an Amir La'akam, this is also Rabban. Yeah!
Doesn't the Shach say that cutting your nails
with claws, he might, yes. That's a machlokas. He might, yes. Machlokas to Guva. Correct. It might. In other words, it's machlokas Taisus and the Rivash. We didn't get there, did we? We might have. I don't remember.
If he says it's Darabon, then does he not need?
You don't need the teeth.
Instead of giving your hand to the lady, why can't the lady just take her hand?
In theory, unless you letting her take your hand, I don't know. It's a good. I don't know.
How
could be. How could you not let her? If someone just grabs my hand, I will typically not allow them. What? It could be. Could be. But it gets a little awkward. Okay. Could be. Okay. Weiter in Now, Rabosai, I believe that this entire discussion can really be boiled down to a core and fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, and really goes to how you understand the core of our sugya. So we're going to really bring it home with the Rambam Ravid Hilchos Avodah Zarah Avodas Kochavim Perek Yudbeis Halacha Av. And the Rambam has the following din. He quotes our halacha, by the way. He says the Isra of Giluach Harosh is an Isra in the world of Avodah Zarah. It's part of Avodah Zarah. The Goyim have these style haircuts. We can't mimic the Goyim. And he says there is an Isra. Each side is a separate lav, a separate Isra. You do both sides, you chayv two sets of malchus. And then he says it doesn't matter whether you shave the head with it or not. You're over the Isra. And then he goes to the following statement. Bamed bar mamur. When is this Isra violated? Be'ish ha-migaleach. The Isra is violated by who? Use English.
The barber.
The Isra is violated by the barber. Aval ha'ish ha-miskaleach eino loke ela imkein siyeya la-migaleach. But the barbery is only going to get malchus if what? If he's misayeh. Ad kan divya Rambam. Now, I just want to make a ha'ara, a small yet big ha'ara. The Gemara had three possible solutions to this business of Rav Chisda's din. Echad ha-makif ve-echad ha-nikaf loke. Solution number one was, lav she, yeshpo, ein ba-maises loikenov. Solution number two is, makif es atzmo. If you're makif es atzmo, then you're over the isra of nikaf al yedei maisa. And then mesaye. Pashut pshat, in case two, makif es atzmo, how many malkas will you get? Two sets of malkas. Echad mishum makif, ve'echad mishum nikaf. Agreed. Does the Rambam bring that halacha down? Does the Rambam bring the din of makif es atzmo down? The answer is, trust me on this, it's certainly not here, it's nowhere else either. The Rambam does not bring down the halacha of makif es atzmo, which is curious. Why does the Rambam not bring down the halacha of makif es atzmo? That's the type of thing that the Rambam would typically bring down. And it should be true halacha. That's ha'ara number one. Second ha'ara. What would be the din, and you know the answer here, to a person who's miskaleach b'li siyua, without a siyua? So, pashup shot, what's the answer? It's a maisa avera without, it's an avera without malchus, without malchus. Could you read the Rambam that way?
Yes.
I think so. Aval ha'ish ha-miskaleach in a loke, unless he does siyua. But how could you read the Rambam? Eino loke, but it's still an avera? You could read the Rambam that way. And indeed, who makes that point explicitly? That's what the Rivet says. Amar Avram, afa pisha eino loke, kevin shemidaito asa, over belav. It's still a lav, but no malchus. Why no malchus? Because no mice. Who doesn't learn the Rambam that way? The Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says, V'yoter nira li, delo shayach lomar shu over belav. Kevan, delo oved maisa klal. You didn't do a maisa. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense that what? That you're over the lav of, there's a lav of nikaf. Kevan, delo oved maisa klal. V'afilu im armar lo lahakav lo peyas haroz. Even if you sit down in a chair and you tell the barber, right over here, right over here, right over here, right over here, you tell him exactly what you want. But you don't make a move. Says the Kesef Mishnah, who got the Avera? The Makif got the Avera, but not the Nikav. Why? Because they ain't Shliach, the Dvar Avera. Is that a legitimate reading of the Rambam? The Kesef Mishnah's reading of the Rambam. Can it be? I think it can be. The Rambam says, Aval Isham Iskaleach, we emphasize, Ein Aloke. You don't have to say that. You could say, Ein Aloke, because he didn't do Avera. He didn't do Avera.
That makes more sense.
Who makes more sense? I don't know.
Einstein.
It can go either way. But clearly, you can either say this is Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, or you can say it's Machlokas Kesef Mishnah Ravid. I don't care. There's clearly a Machlokas. Kesef Mishnah's reading of the Rambam versus the Ravid. Okay? What is the Hesber of that Machlokas? And I think there's a very fundamental machlokas over here. And that is as follows. And it explains everything. And that is, Rabosai, what's the vision of the Kesef Mishnah? According to the Kesef Mishnah, you sit on a chair and you do nothing. Are you over an Avera?
No.
The answer is no. You tilt your head, you get Malkus. Why do you get Malkus for tilting your head? What is the name of the Avera?
Getting your hair cut.
What is the name of the Avera? Give me one word in English. In Hebrew. I believe that's not correct. According to, I'll say Kesef Mishnah. When I say Kesef Mishnah, I'm going to say Rambam, but I mean Kesef Mishnah Rambam, okay? According to the Rambam Kesef Mishnah, how many Averas are there in the world of Makif and Nikaf? There's only one Avera. The Avera is not allowed to be a Makif. But if you're a Nikaf, who is a Messiah? You're chayev malkus b'toras makif. You become the makif. You are a makif. And whose vision is that? Whose position is that that we're very familiar with? That's Rit V'Tas. What is the Rit V'Tas saying? Is that, who's cutting the fingernails? The Goya? Yeah, but not if. If you're what? If you're a real Messiah, then who's also cutting the fingernails? You are. Who is pulling out the tooth? Well, if you're a Messiah, then you're pulling out the tooth. So when you sit down in the barber chair, who is the barber? Yeah, of course the barber is the barber. But if you're Mazman Sa'orosov, then you too are over the Isser of Mach. I want to tell you something really interesting. In the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvos, he counts all the mitzvahs. So if you look at Mitzvahs Lo Ta'aseh Mem Gimel, you know what the Mitzvahs Lo Ta'aseh Mem Gimel is? It's an Isser of Makif. And you know where he has the Isser of Nikaf?
Nowhere.
He doesn't have an Isser of Nikaf. And you know why the Rambam did not write HaMakif Es Atzmo Is Chayiv Shtayim? Because he's not Chayiv Shtayim. He's only Chayiv once. Because there's only one Isser. And HaMakif Es Atzmo Is Chayiv once because he's over the Isser of Makif. That's it. That's it. There is no Isser of Nikaf. And this is the position of, so what emerges in this whole 2 days of learning is two very different views of this parsha of Makif and Nikaf. According to the Ramah, is there an Isser of passive Nikaf? Ramah. Ritva number two.
Yes,
there's an Isser of passive Nikaf. According to Ramah, is there an Isser of passive Nikaf?
Yes,
there's an Isser of passive nikaf, but Messiah is aimed by mamish, but there's a passive nikaf. But if you're not a nikaf, you're a tooth puller outer. There's no isser. If you're an eye ointment guy, no isser. If you're a nida, you want to put out your hands, Messiah, aimed by mamish. There's only a chiddush in the parsha of nikaf that says passive people are over the isser, and then the shaila is one of malchus. That is the vision of the Ravid. That's the vision of the Ramah. That's the vision of the Shach. That's the vision of the Ramah. What is the vision of the Ritva Taz Rambam? That there's only one Isser. There's only an Isser of Makif. And these two sugyas are really contradictory. Because Beitza says, Nesei Einbo Mamish. And Makif says, Nesayeya Yesh Bo Mamish. You have a stira. How do you resolve a stira? Yeah, you resolve the steer. There's different types of siyua. There's different types of meaning. There's different types of siyua. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on who you're the initiator. But there's no separate isra of nika. There's no such thing. And that is based on this position of the Rambam. Now, in light of the foregoing, I told you. So what did we do? We took a tour. We're taking a tour through Shas and Shulchan Aruch. Where did we start? We started with Hilchos Makif and Nikaf. Then we ventured into Hilchos Shabbos. We got into toothaches. Then we got into the world of Nida. Now we double back into Rambam Ravid. And now watch this. Watch this. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Back to Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos HaKafas HaRosh. Look please at the following. Stalit. The Mechaber says, Isha Eina Mitzuva B'Mitzvahs HaKofa. A woman doesn't have a mitzvah HaKofa. Hopefully, the woman doesn't have much by the sideburns, and therefore the Torah never legislated HaKofa Sarosh. Good? So she can't be a Nikav, she can't be a Makiv, because she doesn't have the sister. She's out of the sister. Good? Great. V'yeshoimrim She'afa Pishmuteres HaKiv Pasro Shah. Even though she's allowed to go ahead and shave her own sideburns, Asur LaHakiv Pass Rosh Ha'ish Afilu Kata. She's not allowed to be a barber for a man. Why not? Why not? So comes along Rav Akiva Eiger. And Rav Akiva Eiger says, what's the pshat? La'aniyaz daiti dezeu lichora l'kule alma ye'aser. She can't be a barber for others not because of the Isser of Lo Sakifu. When it comes to the Isser of Lo Sakifu, is she part of the Parsha Lo Sakifu?
No,
not part of the Parsha Lo Sakifu. Rather, Mishum Lefnei Iver, the Machsheles Laha Shenikaf. Because when she gives her husband a haircut and she cuts off his pays, she's causing him to violate the Isser of Nikaf, that's what he says. Nikaf.
No.
It says Nikaf!
Only if he moves, though.
Stop. Rabosai, first of all, there's a double Kiddush in this Ritva, in this Rav Kiveya. A big Kiddush in this Rav Kiveya, which is really the Shulchan Aruch. Rabosai, he's taking sides. He's taking sides in our Chakir. How is he taking sides? He's in the side of Ravid Ramah Shach. Why? Because if there is no Isser of Nikaf, then she gives him a haircut and he stands still. Let's say he sits still. Is there any lifting either?
No.
No. Why? Because there's no Isser to him, and if there's no Isser to him, then there's no Isser of lifting either. Ah, you'll tell me. Yeah, but maybe he's going to move. And if he's going to move, then what?
Makif.
Then he's a makif. And now she's over lifnei. Fair enough. I want to make another point, which is a small point, but a good point. One second. A good point, small point. I'm not giving shir and lifnei either, but I want to make a small good point. When you're the bank, Zinkin was the bank robber yesterday, yeah? I'm the getaway car. Let's assume he's a bank robber. I'm the getaway car. And let's say the penalty for robbing banks is 20 years in prison. Am I over an Isser? Let's say yes. Am I over the Isser of robbing a bank? So that's an interesting chakira. Did I help him rob a bank?
Yes.
Lifnei Iver. I'm Lifnei Iver. The famous chakira. Is Lifnei Iver a chameleon Isser, that if I'm a Lifnei Iver on bank robbery, then what am I? I'm a bank robber. And if I'm Lifnei Iver on someone eating Basa V'Chalav, then what am I? I'm a Basa V'Chalav. So if that's true, I'm a bank robber. Or do you say, no, Lifnei Iver is not a chameleon Isser, it's a Isser Bifnei Atzmo, called Lifnei Iver. So is my penalty one of bank robbery, or it's an Isser of getaway car driver? Lifnei Iver. Interesting chakira. Just think about this for a second. If I feed you chicken and cheese sandwich cooked together, am I over an Isser Doraisa or an Isser Drabon?
Depends
on this chakira. If you assume that it's a chameleon Isser, then I'm over the Isser of Drabonim. But if you assume it's an Isser Bifnatzel and it's lifting either Doraisa, even though the underlying Isser is an Isser Drabonim. A famous chakira. Abosai. The Rav Akiva Eiger is clearly saying it's not a chameleon Isser. Why is it not a chameleon Isser? Because she doesn't have an Isser of Makif. She doesn't have an Isser of Makif. And therefore, she can't chameleonize into a Makif because she doesn't have that Isser. So it's clearly, according to Rav Akiva Eiger, it's a Isser Bifnatzel. That's a side point. Don't ask the question on that point. The main point I want to bring out is the following. The Ritva says something unbelievable. An enormous chiddush that has ramifications everywhere, as I'll show you if you give me 4.5 more minutes. And it goes like this. Says Rabbi Akiva, maybe I can matir her to give her husband a haircut. I'm going to give her a heter against Shulchan Aruch. Because why is it also because of Lifnei Iver? What's going to happen if she doesn't cut his hair? He's going to go to the mirror, take his machines, and cut his own hair. If he cuts his own hair, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how many doraisas will he violate? Says two doraisas. Makif and Nikaf. If she cuts his hair, then he's only going to violate one Isser, Nikaf, and she's going to violate, worst case, Lifnei Iver, Durabama. So is she allowed to cut his hair? What's the Isser of Lifnei Iver? It's facilitating someone's Averis. But let's say, by you facilitating his Avera, you're actually minimizing his Averis. How are you minimizing his Averis? Because if he does it himself, he's over two Isur. If you do it for him, he's only going to be over
one.
So you know what? Do it. What the Kibbeh says, do it. Because by doing it, you are minimizing his Avera. In other words, Rabbi Kivega is working with an assumption, two assumptions. Number one, that's true, but let's go with that assumption. In which world is he in? If he does it himself, how many Averis is he doing?
Two
Averis. Makif and Nikaf. Is that true? That's only true if you hold, you can go guys, you need to go. That's only true if you hold what? If you hold like the Raivid, like the Ramah. But if you hold like what? If you hold like the Rambam, then how many Averis you?
One.
Either way, he's only going to be doing one Avera. Because there is only one Avera. So either way, he's only going to do one Avera. So then should she go ahead and cut the hair? No. So Rabbi Kivega is working with its assumption. He's working with the assumption of the Raivid, of the Ramah.
She's still
cutting. What?
He's not
going to
violate the Isra of
Maki unless he knows. I know, but she's not
violating.
I'm saying, she's assuming, in other words, the assumption is he's involved. You know,
so he is going to be involved.
Yes, right. Now, there's another Chiddush in his Ritva. Rabosa, what is Lifnei Iver? What is Lifnei Iver? The Ritva, the Rabbi Kivegos operate the following assumption. Lifnei Iver, I have an obligation to help my friend and not have him do others. So if in this scenario, what's going to happen? He's going to go ahead and do it himself. Then Lifnei Iver says, am I causing him to sin by cutting his hair? Technically? Yes, I'm causing him to sin by cutting. But nevertheless, I'm allowed to do so. Why? Because I have to look big picture. In the big picture, if I don't act, what's going to happen? He's going to violate two. Look big picture. Now, if you look at the small picture, in other words, Lifnei Iver says the Rabbi Kivega is, you look global. You have a mission to look global and not mess up your friend. If your friend's on an island, he took a Naziris, and he's really thirsty for wine, and you say, don't worry, I'll boat a bottle over. That's Lifnei Iver. Why? Because if you didn't do it, what's he going to do? He's going to be stuck without wine. Now you gave him wine, that's Lifnei Iver. You're making his life worse. So Rabbi Kivega says, look global, look big. If you look big picture, then by cutting his hair, you're actually making his life better. You don't have to look at Lifnei Iver that way. You can look at Lifnei Iver, she's got to worry about herself. And bottom line is, by her cutting his hair, she is causing him to do this Avera. Yeah, he might have done it anyway by himself, but that's not her concern. Rabbi Kivega is taking a stand. I put on your Marmakomos two chuvas. Two chuvas that have nothing to do with our topic, but have everything to do with our topic. The second chuva is a chuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's interesting to see who asked the Shaila. I like to see who asked the Shaila. So the Shaila was, does it say over here? Yeah, it says. Look at the first two lines. I'm not going to read the whole tshuva. He says, someone wanted to organize a minyan, avur chinuch hayeladim, ubarur, sheyavo b'mashines. You know what machines are?
Machines?
He writes machines. It's for sure they're going to arrive to the minyan in machines. Machines are cars. Are cars on Shabbos. Who asked the kasha? Look at who asked the kasha. Yedidi Harav Moreno Harav Aryeh Moshe Elio Kaplan.
Aryeh Kaplan
asked the shayla. This is a shayla from Aryeh Kaplan, who was very involved in Kiruv. Wants to know, can you organize a minyan for children on Shabbos when you know they're going to drive the car to shul? And you know what Moshe says? Absolutely not. You can't do it. You think you're educating them? You think you're teaching them? You think you're helping them? But they're going to have to mechal Shabbos to get to the shul? No go. Better that minyan should not exist. That's his conclusion. Ayin shalom. That's tshuva number 1 second. I found another tshuva. A tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Chelek Aleph of Minchas Shmomo Simen Lamed Hei. Fascinating shayla. Someone comes to your house, a non-religious person. He's coming to visit you, hang out with you. What's the first thing a normal person would do? Give him something to eat, give him something to drink. And you know, when you give him something to eat or drink, he's not going to make a bracha. I'm going to tell you, it's an open and shut din in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to give him food. Why? Because Lifneiver, you're going to give him food. Now he's going to eat it without a bracha. You can't give him food. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Minchas Shomos was asked the following shaila. Let's take a look at let's take a look at is this the question? Second line. Bahadit Sarich Kol Adam Lasum Drachav Lachan Masal Shem Shemaim Chosvan. B'misha Ba Elav Oreya Chasuv Asher Einer Shomer Torah Mitzvos Avadai Yeshlo Aval Ubnei Torah. He's not doesn't keep the Torah, but he likes Jews. V'gam Tomech. He's a donor to institutions, etc. And if you don't treat him with normal manners, with normal etiquette, you don't offer him drink and food when he comes to visit you, he's going to say, like, what's with these from Jews? They don't offer food and drink to someone who's coming to visit them? Like, what's going on over here? And it might even result in lotisna achicha bilvavecha. He'll have like, who are these Jews? So you know what the Rav Shlomo Zalman says? You can give him to drink. Why? Because lifnei iver is what is a chashav iser. If you give him to drink and he doesn't make a bracha, what aver is he doing? Iser drabanan. If you don't give him to drink and he's going to start like, what's going on over here? Lotisno sachir b'vavecha. What kind of iser is that? It's a doraisa iser. So you look global, and you know who he cites for this position? He cites for the kiveh. He says when it comes to lifnei iver, you take a global look. Why do I bring up the Rav Moshe Feinstein tshuva? Because you have Chabad, you know, Sedarim and Chabad, Minyanim, and everything. They know full well that these Minyanim and these Sedarim, etc., everyone's coming by car. Is there any justification for that? My answer is, there's a justification. It's Rabbi Kiveh. You got to look big picture. What's big picture? Take a look at, yes, we have an agenda over here, making them from, etc., etc. Look big picture, and maybe that would justify lifting Iver on that level. Again, could be not. Could be it's too far a jump. Because the Rabbi Kiveh is a very narrow look at the case in front of you. But it could be you can make such an argument. So just to recap, 2 days of learning. How you get, and this is how the halachic system works. This is how the halachic process works. You can get from a sugya in Makos all the way over to, can a Chabadnik go ahead and invite guests for a Seder when they know they're going to drive to shul, and there's a direct linkage between everything. It all ties in together. Have an excellent day.
Food?